We're talking about the 16th annual State of the Tribes address delivered yesterday afternoon at the state capitol. We're going to trace some of the themes of the speech this hour, but first, it is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I am here with Maureen McCollum. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kay.
Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. In fact, it is the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. We're encouraging you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from six donors. Thank you so much to all of you who gave. And our goal this hour is to get 20 gifts.
All right. So we're going up a bit here. Let's pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give and make sure we make these hourly goals at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are powerful because people who listen, you, provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio alive and well on the air for you and for our entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A huge thank you to everyone who's contributed today. WPR is listener supported, and that means your gift keeps Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount, for example, $10 or $20 a month. Support your listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount, and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Maureen McCollum. It's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories. It supports the conversations, the programs that you keep you connected to our world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 50 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 20 more people to join in. You make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win that $500 travel agency gift card. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Make your donation right now. You're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
All right. And I would like to give a shout out to Laverne in Amarillo. As a stay-at-home mom, Laverne says WPR provides me with the much-needed mental stimulation required to keep my brain from thinking of only child speak all day. And this is a first-time donation, but it will surely not be the last. Laverne, thank you so much for your support. Give now. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We also heard from Jim in Mauston, who said, "This morning I set up the radios in the house to WPR so I can hear the morning show in stereo.
Nice.
I learn something every day. Thank you." I love that idea. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you so much for your support. Be like Jim and go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552 to give your support.
Right now, we're talking about the annual State of the Tribes address. The chairman of the Forest County Potawatomi community, Ned Daniels Jr., he delivered the address to the Wisconsin legislature yesterday afternoon. We're looking at key messages in the speech, getting your reaction, your takeaways. Did you listen to it? What did you think of it? What Native issues do you want to see Wisconsin address? Join our conversation now. We're at 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation here, 800-642-1234. Margaret Ann Newton is an English professor and director of the Electa Quinney Institute for American Indian Education at UW-Milwaukee. Margaret Ann, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So Chairman Daniels made this emotional plea for more action on the opioid crisis. You could hear it in his voice, in his story. How much of an issue is the opioid epidemic for Wisconsin's First Nations communities?
It's a real issue. I think it's the same in many communities in Wisconsin. It's one of the issues that the Native Nations share with many other places in the United States.
He talked about raising his own grandchildren because of opioids. What do you make of that?
I think many people, Native people and people who are non-Native in our country, have felt there's kind of like a lost generation, a group of people who were derailed in growing up and being able to become the adults they wanted to be. And it's really just something that people have to address and have to take action together and work toward solutions.
What could lawmakers be doing to better address the opioid epidemic, and what did he point out?
He talked about some of the things that are in the works. I think a particular thing that he stressed in his speech was the way the tribes are coming together and working at both prevention, but also the way that people can come together and build a place for students and other people to go to get better. There is a group, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, that has been working on many, many solutions in the different nations. And one of the places that they want to have built soon is some place for people who are suffering and really need to have time and space to heal and get well, and to do that in a way that is culturally sensitive and in a way that involves all the old traditions that might be supportive at that time.
So this is a centrally located addiction recovery center that's in the works?
Yeah, he talked about it a little bit, and there really are, I think, a lot of different people looking at what's the best thing to do. And one of the things to keep in mind is even as these tribes work together, what's right for Ho-Chunk people is not necessarily the exact same thing that's right for the Menominee and the Potawatomi. But together, they're looking across their cultural differences and finding the ways that people can support one another and then support the communities. He made a real big effort to make clear that they support all of the healing that needs to happen in the towns and cities that they are part of.
Chairman Daniels also called attention to Native women and girls being trafficked and murdered. What are the tribal communities calling on from lawmakers?
So the missing and murdered Indigenous women issue has been a huge issue, especially in Canada in, you know, the last couple of decades, and increasingly so in the United States. In fact, even on our campus in Milwaukee, I've had several students write papers on this topic. I was talking to a young woman about a speech she'll be giving this week on that topic. It's something that is very real to them. Young people go missing. These young women, it's a long path for them to come back if they are found. And many times they are not, and the families have no closure. So really, to bring awareness to all of the different things, it sometimes crosses over with the opioid issue, as you can imagine. Many times it has to do with the economic reality that the young women face. So there are a lot of ways that they're trying to solve the problem and make sure that, again, the young people have hope and have a way to move forward in the generations to come, don't really feel stalled by the problems in the world around them.
He also mentioned a task force created by President Trump and a group of state lawmakers trying to create a similar task force. What is being done on the local level?
I think locally there are a lot of organizations working together. In Milwaukee, we have the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center. We have Sojourner Center. We have many different organizations that work together, HR Wellness, and a number of them that come together. And then the tribes themselves have organizations and offices in the city, and all of them try to work together. When someone is missing, when something has gone wrong with a family and they can't find a young woman that might have gone off to do work and suddenly just is no longer responding, it can be extremely worrying to a whole community. And so people have to find ways to communicate and to network different social services to see if they can find someone. Because really, as you can imagine, for anyone, if someone is homeless or if someone is suddenly off the radar, it's very hard to know how to locate them and to know what might have happened.
We're talking with UW-Milwaukee English professor Margaret Ann Newton about yesterday's State of the Tribes address. She's an English professor and American Indian Studies professor at UW-Milwaukee. What are some of the most pressing issues facing Wisconsin's Native American communities? Is it the opioid epidemic? Is it the environment? Join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. Email your thoughts to ideas@WPR.org. We'll be back for more in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the State of the Tribes address that was focused on Native American communities. We're exploring the themes of this year's speech here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But right now, we're taking a moment to talk about Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Maureen McCollum. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like The Morning Show.
And your gift of any amount is so important because you Your support provides the largest piece of funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a goal of 20 pledges this hour. We get them one pledge at a time. We try to stay on track of these hourly goals. When you give, you fund The Morning Show. You fund all of the other WPR programs you count on your listening landscape. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day, even on the weekends. You get great value from this program, The Morning Show, but also from Garden Talk, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Away with Words, and many others that you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
Choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It only takes a few minutes, and once it's set up, you support the programs you value and that you're always current.
You may not be thinking about t-shirts in February, but the new WPR t-shirt with its two-tone design on a forest-colored tee is waiting for you. Where will you show yours off?
When I drop my kids off at school, wear that to the grocery store.
Hiking, working out.
St. Patty's Day Parade, it's definitely ready for March 17th.
You can wear your WPR t-shirt to so many places. Get yours now when you make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I'm here with Maureen McCollum. It's your support today, right now, of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and count on your gift.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount really makes a difference. Here's some suggested amounts.
Okay.
The same amount you pay for a month of Netflix.
Yep, yep.
Maybe cable.
Coffee. you know what, how much coffee cost yesterday, which like yeah. WPR is probably something you look forward to every day. So give now, you pick the amount, your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 35 minutes left this hour, and we would love to hear from 18 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2020 WPR t-shirt. So give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking with UW-Milwaukee's Margaret Ann Newton. A day after the State of the Tribes address to the Wisconsin legislature, we're looking at the key takeaways from the speech that was delivered by Forest County Potawatomi Chairman Ned Daniels Jr., getting your insights on how the 11 Native Nations of Wisconsin are doing and what you think of the speech. Our conversation here is at 800-642-1234. Again, join our conversation, 800-642-1234. And Margaret Ann Newton stays with us. She directs the Electa Quinney Institute for American Indian Education at UW-Milwaukee. Let's bring in a call now. Sharon is joining us from Minocqua this morning. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. I'm actually joining you from the Northern Highland Forest.
Oh, wow.
No, that's okay. That's why I mentioned to your call taker that I was in not the best cell phone area. I love Mr. Daniels' speech, and I work for Great Lakes Inner Tribal Council. I'm the grant writer, and we're working on several large new initiatives to really kind of help it, you know, with addressing some of the key issues, but also to expand on the positive things that are going on in tribal communities through their agricultural expansion. I'm heading out to LCO Community College for an agriculture-related program. But I just wanted to emphasize that, as your guest also mentioned, many of the concerns that Native American communities have are the same ones that rural communities in Wisconsin have, from housing to broadband expansion, and any help that goes to the tribes in addressing these issues really helps a much broader community, not just our Native American communities.
Well,
I'll listen.
Yeah, Sharon, thank you so much for bringing that to the table this morning. Margaret Ann Newton, where do you see the intersection of Native American issues and the whole rural experience as we know it right now in Wisconsin?
I think there's a long history in Wisconsin of the people of the state working with the people of the Native Nations, and it extends back really to a time before the state was a state, when this was a territory. So really, there always has been collaboration between these communities. Everyone knows that this is a space that we are in together, and that the children of the future really belong to all of us, and it's our responsibility to work together to make this a good place for them to be and a place where they can thrive. So that's just been a long history, especially here in Wisconsin.
We were talking earlier about the opioid epidemic and murdered and missing Indigenous women. What else stood out to you from yesterday's address?
For me, I think it was wonderful to see the people that he brought with him. It's really as if there is a representation of many communities, many generations, many different experiences. You see the veterans come in with the Eagle Staffs. You see the students who introduced the event themselves. There's a lot of pride and a lot of collaboration that goes into a speech like that. And the way that he delivered the speech, pausing occasionally to kind of expressed some joy for support in the room as all of the people who were listening agreed with him on a couple of counts. I think it was just really nice to see that that happens every year, that that discussion, that that collaboration and those statements are made together. I think that the way that he kind of ended with an emphasis on the natural space that we share and really the way the nations are at the front line in terms of protecting some of these spaces and helping everyone see them as living spaces, helping people understand that the water, the trees, the land that we're on, these are beings really that need to be protected. And some nations have actually enacted legislation that protects these in equal ways to humans.
Go back in time for us. There's been an annual State of the Tribes address to the legislature since 2005. How is the speaker selected?
I actually do not know the details of that process, but I know that the tribes together collaborate and take turns, and really they each understand. I know that as I've watched different groups, often from the educational side, we see every year a group of people pulled together, especially the children in each community are really very proud when it's their leader chosen to represent the nations of the state. And they do all understand that as representing the nations, which are very, very different. I think often in Wisconsin, people don't understand the differences. Here in Milwaukee, where I am at this point, it's a place that was a confluence. We had cosmopolitan conversations going on here, especially between the Ho-Chunk, Potawatomi, and Menominee that extend back many, many centuries. So it really is, I think, a tradition that extends farther back in time than the state itself.
You mentioned these moments where it seemed like the audience was also behind what the words of Chairman Daniels. What were some of those moments?
I think a few of them happened where it was clear that everyone was on the same page. When we care for our children, when we are concerned for their future, when we know that we need to look for innovative ways to be resilient and to move forward, when we talk about protecting the land, those are just moments where I think there's a lot of pride in this state for the Native nations that we have here who are really the protectors who have been doing this for a very, very long time.
UW-Milwaukee English Professor Margaret Ann Newden is our guide to the State of the Tribes address. The 16th annual address was delivered yesterday before Governor Evers, before members of the state Supreme Court, before state senators, members of the Assembly. Your reaction to the speech is welcome. 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead. A news update is next here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about yesterday's State of the Tribes address, and now we're checking in on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Maureen McCollum. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions, these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have less than a half an hour left this hour, and we're looking for 16 more people to join in. Thank you so much to those of you who have already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
This hour on the morning show, we're talking about yesterday's State of the Tribe address and what's going on with the First Nations in the state. It's these super important conversations that you count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a pretty great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
That is true. And a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin.
I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States. It's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Give like Meg has done as a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Maureen McCollum this morning, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on each day. That's why your support during this winter member drive so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you've decided it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And the day is young. Make a difference before you even leave the house. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll have made an excellent start to your day.
All right. So we're still looking for 16 pledges. I shouldn't say still. I have faith. Mm-hmm. I know we can do this. There is time, and we love the mornings. WPR is listener powered, and that is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
In addition to funding the programs, your donation enters you in a drawing for a travel agency gift card. Five lucky winners will enjoy $500 to spend on their next travel adventure. Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. Not a sustainer yet? Sign up now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Could be like Sammy and Wanakee, who says, WPR is by far the most reputable, in-depth source for issues in my life. As a young adult, I'm proud to say that I've made it a priority to become a sustaining member. Thank you so much, Sammy. And for the rest of you, your gift right now is so powerful and so important. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Right now, we're discussing the annual State of the Tribes address. It was delivered yesterday by the chairman of the Forest County Potawatomi community, Ned Daniels Jr., and he stressed the importance of clean water, clean air, and soil, and the legislative task force work on these issues.
There might not be anything more important than ensuring the sustainability of our most precious and valuable natural resources for future generations.
What issues did he bring up that are important to you? Was it that environmental protection piece, maybe the opioid epidemic, or when he talked about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls? Bring your thoughts to this conversation, 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation is at 800-642-1234. UW-Milwaukee English professor Margaret Ann Newton is our guide, and her work involves promoting and preserving Native languages. Margaret Ann, Chairman Daniels called for help developing rural communities where many Native people live, and he said, quote, "We are far more than just the operators of casinos." What do you make of those words?
I think what he wanted to do was address a common stereotype, I think, since 1989 when gaming became something that tribes could do. There has been a misperception that every tribe has a casino and that every casino results in excess money for individuals. And that just hasn't been the case. Some nations have gaming operations. Some of them do funnel that in the form of per capita payments, much the way people that invest in the stock market would reap the benefits of investing in something like that. But many, many nations use the profits from their various enterprises to rebuild and work with the communities they live in and the communities around them. So I think he made a big point to comment on how many employees are part of the enterprises owned by the tribes, how much the state is impacted by the businesses operated by Native nations, and how much these enterprises contribute to the state as a whole. I think that's really what he wanted to leave people thinking a little bit about, how to work with the tribes and think of them as so much more.
He mentioned industries like construction, cybersecurity, forest products, telecommunications, data centers. I mean, these are industries that we may not think of when we look at Native tribes and the business ventures they're involved in.
Some people might not, but it's amazing. I mean, I have almost 500 Native students at UW-Milwaukee, and many of them are bridging multiple fields. They are in all of these areas, and they are also sitting in the Ojibwe class. They are studying limnology and working on learning Potawatomi. They are doing all of the things that they can to create nations of the future that echo their resiliency and their indigenous viewpoints, but in a very, very modern way. So I think many Native people definitely see this as a sector that we want to be in terms of business and innovation and resiliency. I think what the challenge is to get everyone else to think of Native people and Native nations in this way.
Sharon in Minocqua had mentioned this earlier, too, is the impact of what better broadband could do for development. How is the lack of access to fast internet creating problems for tribal communities?
I think whenever you have people spread out, you have issues in terms of being able to deliver everything from education to basic health care. When you can have internet connections that allow you to interface with people who are just not regularly able to be in your community, you have a way to offer services that are sometimes beyond the reach of a small community. And again, this is an issue that is absolutely of utmost importance to all rural communities. So just the way you see people in the Native Nations saying they would like to have their citizens more connected and more able to cooperate and collaborate in this way, I think people in rural towns all over the state would feel the same.
The chairman mentioned workforce and housing shortages as challenges to businesses. What are other challenges that are being faced by the economies of Native communities?
I think a lot of it can be the conflicts in terms of working through policies. I know that the Menominee Nation has a number of enterprises, and what they often struggle with is finding a way to balance. How do you care for one of the world's most beautiful sustained forests and then also satisfy the business needs and produce timber in a world where you have to compete with maybe enterprises that have different rules and different policies for how water and land and resources might be used? So I think sometimes working through policies that balance the human needs in the economy with the actual needs of the resources themselves in order to keep them sustainable, that can be a challenge when you're trying to do things differently in terms of agriculture. The Oneida and the Potawatomi have done many things in terms of going back to old foodways and trying to think about agriculture differently. The Ho-Chunk Nation has thought about the ways that they can impact the sectors that they are in the different part of the state. So I think that's always a part of it. When you have a nation with certain cultural values and viewpoints and you are working within a larger country that has different policies sometimes that conflict.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Margaret Ann Newton. She's a professor of English and director of the Electa Quinney Institute for American Indian Education at UW-Milwaukee. She's our guide to yesterday's 16th annual State of the Tribes address. Your reaction to the address and the issues you see in tribal communities around the state, join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's spend some time here on the environment. Chairman Daniels appealed for preserving environmental resources, protecting drinking water, but he didn't directly address what is exactly threatening those resources. What kinds of threats are Native American communities facing by way of the drinking water?
Well, I think that if folks look into it a little bit, there have been a number of flashpoints in recent decades, which I think he artfully didn't focus on. He didn't want to really specifically bring up a particular incident. But if you note at the very beginning when he called out all of his colleagues and he really identified them individually, each one of them, all of those nations, especially the folks that are up in the Superior area near Red Cliff and Bad River, La Couturier, they've done so much to protect the watershed, to protect the ways that the water moves cleanly through the land so that they can continue ricing and hunting and, you know, using the rights that they've had for many years to continue to practice traditional ways in the region. And I think that's something that many Wisconsin people share. Everybody would like to be able to go up north and find clean water to swim in, to fish, a diverse population of fish that could thrive in those areas. And within the hunting community as well, many people know that you need a sustained, clean ecosystem. It's not just the population of what you're hunting. It's the entire environment that supports them. So Mike Wiggins and others from different nations across the state have done a lot to say we need to think about the long term when we see how our land is used and how the water is being used.
The Menominee have been fighting the Back 40 mine in Michigan, calling the desecration of burial sites disgraceful. But Chairman Daniels didn't mention the mines specifically. Do you think that that was for a reason? What do you make of that?
Well, I think that a moment like this, this particular speech, is one where people are trying to collaborate. People are trying to emphasize the ways that everyone can work together. I think he made a couple of points where he talked about working with both Democrats and Republicans on a range of issues. And so the overarching message that I think he wanted to leave was one of collaboration and moving forward and working together. So there are many, many ways people can get caught up on issues that are of specific interest to them, whether it's about a specific pipeline or a specific mine or just a watershed in your own hometown and area. Almost everyone, if they think of where they are in the state, they don't have to think very long before they'll see which nation was either in the place where they are now or is adjacent to the place where they are now. And that's, I think, what he wanted to do, was leave people thinking about connections. And there's other times and venues to have very specific and detailed debates about particular mines or pipelines.
Chairman Daniels also thanked Governor Evers, who was in the audience, for creating a task force on climate change. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has been critical of that task force. How do Wisconsin's tribes want to deal with climate change? What do we know there?
Well, I think the issue of climate change extends back many, many thousands of years. Native nations have stories and records of climate resilience that we would all be wise to look back to. There's stories of surviving sudden floods, coastal shifts. There are very specific stories of how the Native nations have dealt with this region, which has changed many times. The Great Lakes, as we know them now, used to look a little different. And as the waters have changed, the land around them has changed, and Native nations have weathered that and have been resilient, have moved communities, have worked differently within a space. And I think that one thing we can all learn from that is how to collaborate and listen to the land and understand and respond in ways that, you know, work toward the future.
So as lawmakers took in this address, the 16th annual, how do they take pieces of this address and where does it go in the future? How do you see it resonating?
Well, I mean, I think that for all of us, the hope is that people really take some of the messages to heart and that the people in the state of Wisconsin see that the sovereign rights and opinions of these nations can be something of benefit. As we all work together in the Great Lakes to protect the water and the land here, we see that the Native nations have a way of speaking about these issues legally that is very different than the way the state can speak about them. And I think that when the legislature thinks about the ways that this can be addressed collaboratively, I think there's an opportunity. So there's over 500 sovereign nations within the United States, and each of them has their own constitution and their own way of being in a space and a very, very, very long history. And if the states that surround that nation work with these nations, I think that we can find something that's much stronger than maybe we even have right now.
Margaret Ann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Margaret Ann Newden is a professor of English and director of the Electa Quinney Institute for American Indian Education at UW-Milwaukee, and she joined us from WPR Studios in Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us for Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Member Drive here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Maureen McCollum this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in on The Morning Show. I know I learn something new every day, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
We have about 5 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 9 more people to join in. I believe in our listeners. I think we can make that
goal. Yes,
we
can do that.
And that goal, that gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In this hour of The Morning Show, we've been talking about yesterday's State of the Tribes address, and this is important information and the kind of conversation that you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
We have a beautiful new t-shirt this year, and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. The Heather Forest Green Tea has a stylish geometric design. Mm-hmm. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR t-shirt. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Maureen McCollum this morning. And it's your support during this winter member drive making the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Just a few minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 9 more people to join in. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all the other WPR programs you count on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much to give. You're in control. WPR is listener supported, and that means the more donors we have, the more secure our funding. So how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give.
Many first-time donors give $100 or $10 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you. Since contributing is your choice, and because WPR is something you value, you'll find that donating feels good. Find out right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, I keep hitting refresh here on the computer to see
the suspense.
To see if we made our goal. I'm going to hit it one more time. All right, I'm hitting it. And we are still needing 9 more gifts this hour. We can do it. I know it's possible. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-252.
You can support the programs you value, like The Morning Show, and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2020 WPR t-shirt. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Your gift is so incredibly powerful, and honestly, it really makes a difference. You might think, I'm just one person, what difference can it make? But it is true. You make a difference. Just go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552, and thank you for your support.